nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.org.
Praise the Lord. Exodus 33, are we there? Let me read from verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go from here, you and the people that are with you, that you are brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto your seed I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of you, for you are a stiff neck, in case I consume you in the way. And when the people heard this evil report, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornament. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of you in a moment, and consume you. Therefore now put off your ornament from you, that I may know what to do unto you. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornament by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it outside the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone who sought unto the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was outside the camp. Okay. Verse 8. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent. Now, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speak unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now listen, praise the Lord. So there is an excerpt of the meeting we had in Lagos, and let's see how, you know, the Lord will help us. See, look at verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, you know, there was a tabernacle built. The pillar descended from heaven, the cloudy pillar, and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. See, they built a tabernacle just like a tabernacle, a tent. And then a cloud descended from heaven. This was, it was visible. They, you know, they could see. So the cloud descended from heaven and covered the whole place. Praise the Lord. The people saw it from a distance, and then they bowed in worship. But Moses entered into the clouds. Praise the Lord. So can you see? Now, I take it again. The clouds descended and covered that place. That was the glory of God. And when the people saw it, they were standing from afar. When they saw it, they did obeisance. They just bowed in worship, you know, to the presence and the glory of what they were seeing. But Moses walked into the presence. Moses himself walked into the cloud. Praise the Lord. And he don't stop there. Verse 11, he said, and the Lord spoke. Okay, but even from verse 9, he said, and the Lord talked with Moses. Then God began speaking to Moses. Verse 11, and the Lord spoke unto Moses. How did he speak to him? This is, I want an echo from our study. How did he speak to him?
Face to face.
Say, God spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speak unto his friend. I don't know, is there any realm that is more than that? Eh? Praise the Lord. Is there any dimension that, look at him, is there any dimension that is, you know, we're talking about his glory. We're talking about dimensions of encounter. Look at the kind of encounter. The cloud descended, you see, God himself descended in the cloud. And then Moses walked into that cloud. Israel saw it from afar off, they started worshipping. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then the Bible says God began talking to him. And that talking has level. You know, there are different kinds of talking. You know, you just wake up and had a dream and God just warned you. Have you? Just like Joseph, he said, take this child, away from their people to kill him. You know, the husband to Mary. There are different kind of talking. Even I think God was the one telling who said in Numbers, so that with Moses I speak face to face like a man speak to his friend. Mouth to mouth. Now the glory that he saw one thing, then the talking, God began speaking to him, and then in that talking there is level. Praise the Lord. He said, and then God began speaking to Moses as what? As a man. No, he didn't speak as a God. He said, as a man speaks to who? To his friend. You know, he qualified the way he was talking to Moses. Praise the Lord. Like, two beings, you know, speaking together. So if it's, you know, sometimes it's just God talking to man, right? Right? God talking. But this one, he said, no. You know, I talk to him as a man speaks to a man. Amen. As a God speaks to another God. You know, he said, I've made you a God to Pharaoh. Like a God is speaking to another God. Praise the Lord. Okay. You want to read your translation.
Verse 11, Message Bible. He said, and God spoke with Moses face to face as neighbors speak to one another when he would return to the camp.
It's okay. That's a very beautiful translation. Message Bible. He said, as what?
Neighbors speak to one another.
As neighbors speak to one another. Okay, let me even see if I can. Let me read it from the Amplified Bible. Okay. Okay. And okay, I think it's the same with King James. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to what? To face, as a man speaks to his friend. So I don't know what kind of thing Moses was hearing. You know, who was this man called Moses? Praise the Lord. You understand? You know, people had encounters in the Bible. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah the Tishbite. Amen. This was another level. This was another level. That's why if you look at the Hebrews, they talk about Jesus, Moses, and Jesus. But they say, Jesus should be greater because he's the owner of the house. You know, because of the level of their work with God. It was even Moses God told that, even by my name, is it Jehovah that was not known to Abraham?
Yes.
He said, by this name that I'm revealing to even Abraham, your father, did not know me by this name, did not encounter this dimension of me, that your father. So praise the Lord. Amen. So that's okay. That's not where we are going, but just to lay the foundation to where we are going. Now, after Pastor Colin, after Moses had all this encounter, you know, you will not think that is there any dimension that should be higher than this. But when Moses had this encounter, Moses was not satisfied. Moses knew there was something more. Look at this glory that a man has seen. That same man now stands before God and now asks him that, show me your glory. What was he asking for? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, amen. This is what we are praying for. This is what we are believing God for. A man had gone there and stood in it. And he stood in it and he looked at God. And he said, God, show me your glory. So what was this one that he saw? You know, there are dimensions of glory and encounters. Praise the Lord. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Okay, let's look at verse 18. Okay, I still need to do some reading here. Okay, Moses said to the Lord, verse 12, I want us to get this. There's a message in it. There's one central message that I want us to get. You know, so that, okay, let's just continue. Verse 12, and Moses said to the Lord, see, you said to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. See, this should change our concept of prayer sometimes, Pastor Collins.
Yes.
Eh? You know, prayer, when God's presence is, you go frenzy. But when God stood in his presence, Moses was normal. You know, they were talking. Amen. Amen. You know, if you do that, you have not prayed. But Abby, am I lying? How can you get it behind? You do that, you don't think you are praying until you know, you wind up the engine inside. No, there are different kinds of prayer. There's a room for that one. But no, look at this one. Praise the Lord. God descended in his fullness and then they began to. Mostly that was prayer. Amen. That's prayer. When Abraham stood before the three of them, that was prayer. Can you see? You know, look at where prayer started from. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't know how prayer has gradually changed to this our African way. You know? Amen. those traditions that were carried from our culture and our forefather, and then slipped it into the gospel. Look at how men began talking to God. Look at how men began praying. Look at the people like the likes of Daniel. Look at the likes of Nehemiah. Look at their intercession. You know, intercession that rock, you know, that shook the foundations of this earth. But look at the way it came, you know. It really came from their spirit. You don't have to decorate prayers. You don't have to garnish it. David was so tired one day, all he could say that, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. He didn't need to switch into a mood. Abi, you know, there's a mood for prayer. He didn't have to switch into the mood for God to now hear his prayer. He said,
there's
some basic number. Let's pray. And you sit down, you are talking. Maybe you are, you know, if, look at you, this one is not praying, you know, until we see some kind of, you know, we are too physical. You know? Yes, you know, and the same thing we use when the spirit that the spirit moved. The day the spirit moved in the life of Solomon, there was nothing, there was no shaking, and that movement shook the foundation of the whole earth. They say the whole earth came under subjection to the wisdom of Solomon, and then there was no shaking. And of course, there are instances where they were shaking in Acts of the Apostles, but there are a lot of instances there was no shaking. So God is everything and is everywhere. So that we can expand the horizon of our thought and, you know, our vision and our expectation, anticipation, and, you know, our, how do I put it, our understanding, you know, of even this, our walk with God. Praise the Lord. So God is everything. Some of the very deep encounters you have, nothing may even happen. Maybe nothing, there may not be certain things around you so that will not start hyping one experience in God against another experience in God. You know, we are emotional beings, you know. But even all of those things should be put right in perspective. Even Jesus himself, you know, the manner he prayed. Look at John 17. You know. Look at the way he was praying in John 17. Look at that prayer. That deep prayer. You know. The deep, you know, when you say you are scooping the bottom of the pot. But look at the manner, look at the atmosphere around that prayer. Praise the Lord. So we should have our concept of prayer, you know, relationship with God and fellowship. You know, our concept of fellowship. Praise the Lord. That's why we are so tired and frustrated. We feel as if nothing is happening. Amen. Amen. Because so many times we are on the wrong course in our thought and our thinking pattern about fellowship with God. Even about this intimacy stuff. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so we're in verse 12, Abby. And Moses said to the Lord, see, you have said to me, bring all these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you. Progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly, and that I may find favor in your sight. And Lord, do consider that this nation is your people. I'm reading the Amplified Version. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you, and then I will give you rest. You know, he had already told him that he was not going. He had already said, he's not going. I'm going to send an angel. Then Moses began talking with him. You know, it's not only this man that prevailed against God. What is prevail upon God, not again. Prevail upon God, Jacob. In this place, Moses himself overcame God. Moses himself, you know, they had a contention. God said, I'm going to do this. Moses said, no, this is the one you must do. God said, okay, I switch over from my side, I cross over to your side. A man had power with God and overcame. All right, read your translation.
From verse 12, he said that Moses said to God, look, you tell me, lead these people, but you don't let me know whom you are going to send with me. You tell me, I know you well, and you are special to me. If I am so special to you, let me in on your plans. That way, I will continue being special to you. Don't forget, this is your people, your responsibility. God said, my presence will go with you. I will see the journey to an end. And Moses said, if your presence doesn't take the lead here, call this trip off right now. How else will it be known that you are with me in this? With me and your people. Are you traveling with us or not? How else will we know that we are special? I and your people among all the people on this earth.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No, see, you see that question that Moses asked, and what I'm doing, I'm building up the progression to that question. That thing I just he didn't just jump and say, show me your glory. You know, I'm sure, see, there's a progression. Amen. You know, he says, show me your way, let me in into your plan. After I say, okay, who are we going to send with me? God is saying, okay, you are going to send with me. Then again, who show me your way that I may know you. And then consider that these people are your people. And God said, okay, my presence will go with you and I will give you what? I will give you rest. Right?
Yes.
Moses now said to him, that's what the pastor read. If your presence, if he's not going with us, Abby. It's a call of the journey. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He said, your presence, he said, do not carry us from here, just leave us here. We are okay here. Then, on and on, they began interacting. Then, look at verse 17, God now replied. What is, can we echo it from our Bible?
Amen.
So Moses just called the second group. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. He said, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have asked, for you have found favor, loving kindness and mercy in what? In my sight, and I know you personally and by name. Then, now, Moses has said, has nothing in the second one, right? My parents will go. Moses also, he put a bit of threat. Let me use that word you put. Amen. Amen. So, he secured that one. Then, you see the progression. Then he now went, you know, see, there have been so many myths about God. So many things that who is God, we have seen his way, we have seen God move, we have seen God do things and everything, you know. And then look at Moses standing with this same one that they call God, and look at Moses having so much power with him. At the point, Moses looked at him and said, who are you? And that's if he said, show me your glory, you know. And that glory there is your, he said, show me your glory, show me your face. Who are you? Who is this God? Even that a man has power with him and I can prevail him. The same was it, God made the heaven and all the meat. You know, Moses also grew up now.
Yeah.
Like he said, that he have heard so many things about God. All that he did in the lives of Abraham, in this. And then one day you are standing with that person. He said, he's going this way. He said, no, go this way. This and that. It's okay, I've heard you. I'm going to go this way. Then at that point, Moses looked at him and said, show me your glory. Who are you? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Can you see? He said, who are you? Who is this God? Then, okay, verse 18, right?
Yeah.
Verse 18. So you look at the experiences we are coming from. Can you see? You see, there is something more. Look at all of those manifest presence that Moses saw. But Moses, I don't know, you know, yes, you know, Moses was spiritual. He looked at it, he said, there is something more. He said, there's an aspect of this God that, you know, we are not seeing, you know, that we are not seeing, that is not being unveiled. And what Moses is acting, praise the Lord. What Moses is asking up until that time, apart from Enoch, I cannot say for Enoch, but if you look at what has been revealed in scripture, what Moses is asking, according to, many people have seen it, I don't know, but according to revealed scripture, no man has seen it. No man has seen it. God, he told him that even by my name, Jehovah was not known to Abraham. And Abraham's walk with God, he had so much power, but was recorded. He said, Moses was asking for something that no man has seen before. He said, show me your glory. You know, glory of God differs. In that cloud was his glory. Abi, Israel will say we saw his glory when they saw the cloud descended. Isn't it also? You know, I'm having a meeting now and a prayer. All of glory of God, there is Moses went beyond, you know, beyond the even certain dimensions of glory. I was asking for one. We're going to see it in this scripture. Praise the Lord. Now, he said, Moses said, I beg you, show me your glory. What was God's response? And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. For I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy and loving kindness on whom I will show mercy and loving kindness. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and what? And live. See what Moses was asking for? He said, it is not given to men to see it in this present order. So Moses was asking for something that was beyond this present dispensation. He said, no man can see my face and live. What are you asking for? Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, beside me, and you shall stand upon a rock. And while my glory passes by, I'm not going to show you, but I'm going to give you something. While my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Amen. When I say no man has seen him before, am I correct? Is even this one, I say, I'm not going to give you. I don't even think any man has ever asked before. Look at what Moses was asking. In fact, is that a counter that Moses had? He said, no, you just come and be giving a testimony. You stood in the cloud. Then God was speaking to you face to face. What are you going? You know, but Moses was making requests in that place. It's just like the Apostle Paul. After his shadow has raised the dead and healed the sick, that man did not tabernacle there. He said, God, he said, that I may know you. That I may know you. So, you know, I want you to now begin to look at what is our highest, what should be the deepest hunger. You know, what should be driving us on earth? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, he said, Paul, all of those experiences that we need them, they are all part of God's glory. They are a dimension of his glory. Praise the Lord. You know, when the power of God begins to exude out of our life, his glory, serious glory, you know. But in the midst of all of this thing, Paul now look and Paul now asks for something else. He said, that I may know you, be made conformable unto your death. Paul was asking the same thing that Moses asked. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Paul was asking the same thing that Moses asked. So God said, I'm going to let you see my back part. And what does that back part mean? Praise the Lord. What did Genesis 1:23? What did he say? Let us do what? Make man. You know it. Let us make man in our image. After what? Let us make man in our what? Please, I'm not hearing our voice, so I'll soon go and sit down. All of us. Let us make man in what? After our what? Let us make man in our image. After our likeness. Amen. Let us make man in our what? After our
likeness.
Now, everything your man is going to see. So he told Moses, okay. He told Moses, you see my back part. That is back part. You are going to see the similitude. You are going to see the image and likeness of my face. But my face itself, you will not see it. So man is made in the image and in the likeness of God. So that's why I will not truly see God until the regeneration, in the eternal future, when this whole world is over. All of those things. So we're not going to see him as he is. He said there, he said, when we see him, 1 John 3, he said we'll see him as he is and we'll become like him. Praise the Lord. So all of the encounter, everything you are going to see, you are going to see the image, you are going to see the likeness, you know, and the image of him. But you are not going to see the fullness of him. Praise the Lord. So this dispensation is the dispensation of image and likeness. He said, let us, even man himself is made in the image and in the likeness of God. He said, Moses, you don't see my face, but you're going to see my back part. And my back, you're going to see the image, you know, and the likeness of it. But you're not going to see the very substance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see what he said, you're going to see my back part. You're going to see the image and the likeness of it, you know, of what you're asking for. But what you are asking for, you're not going to see it. What we'll see is Revelation 22 verse 4, where the Bible says we're going to see his face. You know, in the new world to come. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, Revelation 21 verse 1, I make a new heaven and a new... He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So, in that world, we are going to see his face. Praise the Lord. When we will have been given a new body. you know, and then our redemption will be complete. It will be complete when our body, you know, that's why the Bible says in Romans 8, we groan for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Praise the Lord. So the redemption, when the redemptive process is complete, Jesus is finished. So Jesus is finished it, but this body has not yet been transformed and changed. We will be given a new body. So the whole of those processes will be complete. Then we can see His face. Amen. Look at Revelation. Okay, open the Revelation chapter 22. I will first of all read 21 verse 1, then I will now go to verse 22. And I saw, amen, are we there?
Yes,
sir. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, right?
Yes,
and there was no more sea. You know what this one means? I don't want to deviate from my message. Who can quote for me Genesis chapter 1 verse 1? In the beginning what? So this one declared that God had ended that beginning. That heaven and that earth were ended. They were the ones that were passed away. Right? And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were what? Passed away. So it was that one you read in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. Those ones were passed. God wrote those ones away. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that beginning, God, before now, God had closed the chapter of that beginning, and there's a new beginning here. And there was no more sea, and I just saw the holy city. Oh, now, no, let's go to Revelation 22. Let me read from verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Can you see this beginning? It was a classical beginning, different from the other one. The other one had a tree of evil, right? That tree has already been uprooted. Amen. Yes, by obedience, you know. That tree has already been uprooted by the obedience of Christ. He has joined and uprooted that tree. So now it is a new world. It has only one tree. And that is the tree of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Satan has already been judged by this time. Satan has enjoyed everything. So the second death ended the first creation that God began. Amen. And I told you that, I also remind you, I told us before that the Bible that began in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that creation, okay, Genesis chapter 1 from verse, let me say 3, that creation ended in Revelations 20, verse 14 to 15. You can check it up later. It ended with the second death. That second death was what God used to wipe out everything that He did. He said, even hell, that Revelation 20 verse 14, say, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. You know, the second death wiped out, God used it to wipe out everything, wipe out Satan, wipe out sin, wipe out rebellion. Not to God did not just join the physical world. You know, He said the element, the heaven will pass away, Abby.
Yes.
The earth will be destroyed, but rebellion is still there. Even before He made the first heaven and the first earth, let there be light, let there be this, there was rebellion. But that second death, God judged rebellion. He said hell and death were cast into the lake of fire. Even darkness is there, God judged it. And the instrument that God used to wipe them out of the lake of fire was the second death. So that second death ended that one, and then God began again. So let's continue. Verse 3. Have I read verse 2? Okay, verse 3, Revelation 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, right? And his servant shall serve it. What did verse 4 say? Now, you can see what Moses was asking for. Amen. Look at the order that it belongs. He said, they shall do what? He said, they shall see his face, and his name shall be where? His name shall be written on their forehead. So Moses was asking for what belongs to another life. But God said, I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the image and the likeness of you. I'm going to see something close to it. Amen. I'm going to paint it for you. Praise the Lord. I won't show you, but I'll paint it out for you. Amen. That was the interaction there. So let's go back to that conversation. You know, there are dimensions of glory. Is this one I want us to see, so that we can align our pursuits very well. So when we are pursuing God, I'm pursuing dimensions in God, so that we can know the one we run after. So how did he end? He said, look at, go back to verse 19. That was when God was replying what he asked in verse 18. Show me your glory. He said, I will make all my goodness, right? I will make it to pass before you. Can you see? You know, he was asking for his glory. And then God said, in verse 20, God said, you cannot see my face. Moses asked for what? Glory. What was God's response? Face, Abby? I want to see you. That glory is so that I don't want to see things about you. You know, men have had an encounter with God. They've seen things about God. But Moses wants to see the person of God himself. Praise the Lord. You know, the power of God has moved and has done things. Praise the Lord. Like in general, even in the account of creation, you know, God did not show himself. His presence and his power and his word moved and the whole world was created. But God was not seen. God did not appear. Is that appearance that Moses was asking for? I want to see you who you are. Praise the Lord. So you can see things about God. You know, the things can come. They can be movement, you know. They can be movement. And, but, you know, I want to see your face. I want to see you. I want to see your person. Who are you? Who you are? Who are you? You know. So he said, you cannot see my face. You can't see my person. But look at what God told him in verse 19. I will make my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Now let's go to 34, where God answered the prayer. Are we in verse 34? Exodus chapter 34.
Yes, sir.
Eh? Yes, sir. So now, he said Moses has asked, and God is going to answer. He said, I'm going to show you something. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, cut out two tables of stone, like unto the first, and I will write upon this table the words that were in the first table, which you break, on and on till verse 5. Now, can we read verse 5 together? Now, when he asked for God has come to show him, he said, God now descended in a cloud. Right? Can you see a second cloud? You know, there was a first cloud. You saw the first cloud. What was the first? That first cloud that Moses entered, right? Now, these are another cloud, but these are two different clouds. You're going to see from the scripture. These are two different clouds. The cloud that descended, and this cloud that descended. Now, he said, and the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there, and then proclaimed his name. But see, can we read it together? 6 and 7. Praise the Lord. Please, can you help me read it again from verse 5 to verse 7? Then, when you did that, wait, to verse 8 rather. Please read it from the translation. Go ahead. All of you now read it. Read it. Okay. Is it merciful or what? What is the third one? Long suffering, have you? Long suffering. What is the fourth one?
Okay.
Abundant in what?
Grace.
Abundant in goodness and what?
Grace and patience.
And truth. What else again?
So
then, keeping mercy, have you? And then forgive. Forgiving. And then what? It's also the judge. I will by no means clear what? The guilty. Now, you see, when God was coming, please, I want you to get this. If you've not been listening, listen. Now, Moses had diverse encounters before this time. Then, when God was coming to show Moses his glory, amen, he didn't see anything. There was no sight. He said, God descended, the cloud came, God descended again, God stood by him, he didn't see God. Then the Bible says God began proclaiming his name. God began declaring who he is. Praise the Lord. You know, I told you you're going to see the image and the likeness of it, right? God began declaring who he is. God began talking about his mercy. You know, Moses was asking for God, who are you? I want you to show me your glory, who you are. You know, then when God descended on God, was now showing him, God began talking about his mercy. God began talking about his grace. God began talking about his patience, his long suffering. God began talking about his goodness and his truth. God began talking about his mercy and his forgiveness. Praise the Lord. When God was unveiling his glory to Moses, he said, the Lord God merciful. You know, a lot of people have met God on different fronts. That first cloud I told you that Exodus 33, God was coming to judge. God was a being on his way to judgment, and then Moses met him on that path. And that's when he began interacting. And God, Moses was telling him that please don't kill these people. On and on, they were having that interaction. But this time around, God came. It's just like you, maybe me meeting somebody on the way, and then me bringing the person to my house. This one, men had different encounters with God on his way to do some certain things. Maybe he was going to deliver Israel from Egypt. That one is different from unveiling his person. That one is different from showing you who I am. Maybe he was on his way to go and deliver Israel from captivity. He met Moses, let's go. You know, demonstration of power and all of those things began happening. But this time around, Moses asked him, who are you? Then God now brought him to come and see who he is. Amen. He didn't meet God on the path. This other one I told you in Exodus 33, God was descending, God was judging, God was on the path of judgment, and he met him. But this one, he met God as he is, who God really is. Who are you? You know? Then God began to unveil himself. God began to open up himself to Moses. This is what happened here. And how did he do it? What did he begin saying? He began talking about what? What did he talk about? Sometimes you are asking for glory, and you had an opportunity. Sometimes you are talking about walking in his glory. You know, these are the little analogy I'm talking about. You now, you know, somebody offended you in school, you know, and you decided to allow that person to go and to forgive that person. You have demonstrated a very high level of glory. So we must understand a thing that is called glory. God began talking about his mercy. God began talking about his grace, his allowance, you know. His ability to accommodate man. God began talking about his patience. Endlessly patience, you know. God began talking about his goodness. You know, God is good and his mercy endures forever. God began talking about his truth, his revelation and his light, you know. Can you see what we call glory? These were superior to the revelation that men were having before. And this is the revelation. If you look at who is Christ Jesus, all this is put together. This is the content that we call who? The man Christ. This is the content that we call Jesus Christ. Can you see? That's why Jesus remains the glory of God to man. And Jesus remains the highest glory that men have seen. Can you see? Can you see the content of glory? Mercy. So no matter which encounter dimension, what are you experiencing in God that does not lead you to mercy? That does not translate for you to being a merciful man or a merciful woman. That's not glory. Look at what Moses experienced. And he stood there and said, God, I want to see you. I want to know you. I want to see who you are. And then God said, okay, don't worry. I set an appointment. Then God came. God descended and God stood by him and then began proclaiming his name. And that name is the name that Jesus came and wore. When Jesus was praying in John 7, he said, I have declared to them your name. That thing that Moses was asking for, that word that Moses saw, you know, I have brought the fullness of it to earth. He said, God, I have manifested your name to this man whom you have given me. He said, God began proclaiming his name. And that's the name we have in the name of Jesus. You know, that name transports us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That name totally wipes out everything that we have ever done in life. Amen. That name reverses the fall. And all the injuries that God himself has suffered for thousands and thousands of years, obliterated it and wiped it out of the realm of life. That unveiling in Christ Jesus. You know, the unveiling of mercy. You know, mercy. What was the name of Jesus? How did they call it? Go to Titus. Let me show. Titus chapter 3. What's the name of Jesus? So, okay. Are we in Titus chapter 3? Let me read Titus chapter 3 from 1 to 4. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Can you see the template? You see, the New Testament template, the template of glory, all those fishes you are seeing. God carry his glory. You know, this one, even until we see, we are not satisfied. But God now translated his glory to words, and that's what he gave Moses. He communicated his glory to Moses in words. Moses did not see anything. Praise the Lord. When he came to show Moses his glory, Moses did not see anything. God translated and communicated it in words. He said, the Lord, he began proclaiming. God began declaring, God began making utterance, you know, and then unveiling and unfolding his glory, you know, in Moses, to Moses. So when Jesus came and was teaching us, you know, he was teaching us, all those teachings, you see, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew, all those gospels, he was an unveiling of glory. Amen. You know, he said he was an unveiling of glory, who God is. He began opening it up in teaching. This is the power of teaching. Doctrine. Praise the Lord. And see now here, he said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and power, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. He said, abundant in goodness. Amen. So, then to speak evil of no man, verse 2, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Please, can we read verse 4 together? Continue to verse 6. It's okay, verse 4 define who Jesus is. He said, after that the kindness and what? And love of God our Savior towards my word appear. You see, this thing is what you read in Exodus. Now that God was declaring to Moses now appeared as a man. You see that glory? What Moses was asking for, he now appeared and now became a man. He said, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, and that appearance or the appearance of Jesus, the man Christ, the God man. You see, all of those things declared in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4 and verse 5. You know how did that declaration, that encounter with Moses ended as a judge? God began declaring the judgment for iniquity. And Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world. You know, both for all of these things, you know, all those encounters, those things Moses was asking became a man. And then began to walk the earth. And then so that all men can see. Then now becoming a man, he did not stop there. And after he finished his trajectory as a man, after he finished his course as a man, that glory that Moses was asking for, God now took that glory and put it inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Ah, may God give us understanding.
Amen.
What we have under the new covenant, light. Moses was asking and God came and proclaimed it to him. That's why they say the old covenant is a shadow. You know, that what Moses was asking for became a man. It walked the street of the earth. And after finished walking the street of the earth and it was going, God carried that stuff and then put it inside of you. He said, who have this treasure in earthen vessels? What's that treasure? The glory. We have it in earthen vessels. And we have it and we are carrying long faces up and down because we have not eaten rice in the morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We carry, we are looking, we are not happy and not satisfied because maybe, maybe the whole of Ghana does not know you. They don't know the kind of unction, the kind of grace and power you carry on your head. Praise the Lord. Look at the kind of what is resident in us. How did Paul pray that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened? How did he pray? Ephesians 1:18, right? That the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance, where? In the saints. In the saints. What you carry inside is enough, even though the whole world is burning and collapsing. You are walking like a giant in the midst of the whole rubble and collapse. Because of what the excellency of what is inside. Praise the Lord. It's not an idea, it's not an extent, it's not something that, you know, it does not come by your bank account or the kind of house you are living in or the kind of what you are driving. Thank God we use all those things. You know, those things are things we God will give us in so much in abundance. You know, we use them. But we are having those things and we are not seeing them. You know why? Because you have seen what is inside. When you see what is inside, you cannot see what is outside. You see, when you see God, you cannot see anything else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. when those men were with Jesus, who would they want to go? They want to leave Jesus and go and be with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. When Jesus walked the earth as men, those men drew to him 3 years. They were walking. They were from one bush to another bush, from one mountain to another mountain. They did not go back because they saw something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, he said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to all to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, on and on and on, he said, the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You see the progression. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Amen. I'm still going to go back to Exodus 34 to show us something. You see, the encounter differs. Praise the Lord. Encounter differs. Now, if you go back to Exodus 34, let's go back. Now, we are going back down to the end. Go to verse 29. Are we in 29? And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. Was it the first time he was going to collect tables of tablets? Eh? You know, he has been there before. You know, God just called him and gave him assignment. Come. I want to give you something to go and give Israel. You understand? You know, that was the context he went there. That first time he went there, he went and stayed there for 40 days, 40 nights. He didn't eat anything. What was the context of it? No, listen, please get this. He was there. God came and wanted to give him an assignment. He just go and get it like that. He came and collected and he went. The people were committing sin and he broke it and everything. Then we now had all this drama. Then God said, come and collect it again. But this time, as Moses was going to collect it, Moses asked for something else. He said, God, I want to see you. Not just for me to come and collect it and go and give Israel and all of, not just getting the job done, but who are you? I want to see your person. So this was added to the second to the first experience. There was something added to the first experience. And now look at the outcome. The outcome was not the same thing. Praise the Lord. The outcome was not the same thing. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. You see, this second encounter, you know, the first time he had been in the cloud, right? This second time, when Moses was coming down, he said he heard that his physical body changed. He changed, not because Moses was just in the cloud, but just because of the content of what he saw. Jehovah unveiled himself to Moses. As that revelation was going on, it was changing Moses' physical appearance. He said his face began to glow like white. That was what changed him. Because of the content of what he saw, the revelation of God's person. Anytime you have the revelation of his person, you change. And that's why we are able to become a new creation. Because when Jesus came on earth, he opened up who God is. And when we behold it, we change. The Bible says, beholding as in a glass. What do we behold? The glory of the Lord. When we behold who God is, we begin to change. That's how change comes. 1 John chapter 3, he said that we don't know what it will be like, but when we see him, it will be like him. How is God going to give us a new body? If God will just come and open him up himself for us to see, all of us will see him, we'll say we'll be changed and become like him. That's the process. We'll just see him. So Moses began seeing him, who he is, his person. And then Moses said his face began to glow. And began to change. And that's why the same thing, when you begin to behold God, you see the content, your spirit man begin to change. That's how the change comes about. When you begin to have the revelation of his person, of who he is, you see, you begin changing from within. That's why those men, after they had been with Jesus, what were they saying? Jesus was unveiling, he said, I've manifested your name. That thing that Moses saw. Peter, James, they were seeing those things, right? After Jesus left, men looked at him and said that these men are like Jesus, they have changed. Can you see? That these men have what? They have changed, they are like Jesus. And they took notice that they have been with Jesus. They saw change in them. Is it not for the fisherman? Is it not unlike men? This one has become another person. That's what that encounter, that glory will do. There are different glory in God. The other one said God was on his way to go and judge, and then Moses met on the way. And Moses was in that cloud. When he came back, nothing changed from that cloud. But this second one, God called Moses, say, come, and then took him inside. Amen. God called Moses and took him to the bedroom. And when Moses came out of the bedroom, Moses changed. And this is what we have in Christ Jesus. You know, what I'm talking about, Christ. So, you can see that those men, you see, they were changed. Peter, that was cursing before his mother. He stood before the whole council and said, "This same Jesus that you have killed, God has made him Lord and Christ." They flogged him at another point. Peter was rejoicing and dancing, worthy to be called by his name. Peter has changed. Peter has become Christ. It's more Christ. It's more Jesus on earth. You see, that's how that encounter comes about. It depends on what you are beholding in God. Praise the Lord. So as you progress in your walk with God, God empowers you and God anoints you. There's something more. That's what I'm saying. God anoints you to do certain things over, to bring his governance over this territory of Akure, you know, to establish his power, counsel and everything. That is, yes, that is for the public office. Then for the private office, go to the bedroom. Praise the Lord. God took Moses to the bedroom. Amen. Jesus took those men to the bedroom. He said, "I no longer call you servant, but you are my friends. Because I have everything the Father has taught me, I have showed you, and I have revealed and manifested everything to you." Praise the Lord. Amen. Where did I say you should go to? Where? Yes, go to the bedroom. So the sitting room is the kind of one that we are doing, you know, where you begin to do. Amen. Yes, when God anoints you, empower you, and to do certain things over a territory, over a region, to raise him, raise for me an army. Abi? Raise me an army. I know that's the sitting room. Also, where? Go to where? Go to the bedroom. The bedroom will determine the quality of your sitting room. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, you know, when you see him who he is, and you see the progression of encounter. You see the progression. That's why I ask you that they're walking in his glory. Now, when you begin to see God's glory, you know what is going to happen? That thing that God declared, you are going to become it. You yourself are going to be merciful. Eh? You yourself, you are going to be doing what? You are going to be gracious. That's the ultimate realm of it. You are going to be gracious. You are going to be what? Long what? Suffering. Ability for you to wait. You remember King Saul, where he had problem with Samuel and with God. He couldn't wait. He said, "Just wait for me. I'm coming to go and do sacrifice." He couldn't wait. What did you? What is this word? Please, can you pronounce it? Let me hear it. Long suffering, endless patience, ability to wait on God and wait for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. King Saul, wait. He couldn't wait. But you know David has this long suffering. Have you? David waited for the throne. Can you see that way? God was trying to tell David something. God was. It was a real test. He waited even after they killed King Saul. After Saul died, Abi, David did not govern the northern and the southern Israel together until after 7 years. But David waited. If he had wanted, the men that gathered, they even come and take it. David could have taken it, but David waited. Look at it. He said, "What long was? Long suffering." It becomes a nature you carry, and no wonder David became the father of the Messiah in the spirit. He became Jesus became the son of David. You see, this have all these qualities. It's a goodness. Can you see goodness in the life of David? When he will go to war, Abi, some people will not go to war. He said, "Everybody must get the same reward. Everybody must get the same reward." He said, "Abundance in goodness." No wonder God kept mentioning David, David. Can you say abundance in goodness and what? And truth. David will not run away from his errors. If a prophet pointed a hand, you know those kings in Israel. Anytime a prophet points a hand, they start fighting the prophet. When Nathan come and say, "David, you are that man," David collapsed. He said, "Have mercy." Some kings, they say, they will start dealing with the prophet. Even prophet Gad also came, pointed to him. David was collapsed. He said, "Abundant in goodness and truth, men that walk in truth." So this is what God's glory will begin to do ultimately to you, in who you as a person you are becoming. Then the quality of your work will skyrocket. Amen. Depending on what God has called you to do, if you are going to be a singing minister, if you are going to be a healing evangelist, you are going to be an apostle, the quality of your work will intensify. But this is the kind of dam that will generate the power. You see, this encounter, this dimension of his glory and of his presence and of his presence. Amen. So visit the way. Where did I say you should visit? Where did I say you should go to? Yes, in the bedroom. It's from the bedroom that another man will come from. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even in nation, naturally, another man, Abe, you came from bedroom. Yeah? Yeah. You did not come from the sitting room. You came from the bedroom. Praise the Lord. So go to the bedroom. Pastor Collins, hope you are aware you came from the bedroom.
Sure.
Or you came from the sitting room. Let us know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. You visit the bedroom. This is the bedroom. And when you visit the bedroom, it's another David that will be coming out. Abi? Right? It's another David that will be coming out of the bedroom. Amen. And when he stand, he will look exactly like David. I'll do the same thing that David is doing. Amen. So when you visit God's bedroom, that's the same thing that happens. You become like him. You start doing the things he does and start saying the things he says. Praise the Lord. So you can see the progression of glory. Remember, don't forget where we started from. Abi, when God was talking to Moses as a man speak to him face to face, amen, Moses was not carried away. Moses was not carried away. And then he began as he had his own. He told God, okay, do this. God was just doing everything he was saying. He was still not carried away. He said, I want to see what your person, amen. Just like Samson, God carried away. Abi, he has so much anointing and so much power. He thought that was the ultimate threat. He never asked for something more. He never asked for God, who are you? You know, to even become like God. To even understand his ways and everything, he was just enjoying it. He said, carry gate and put it on his shoulder. He start climbing mountain. Amen. You think there's more dimension? You think there's more operation? Carry gate, his strength. All of them, they will gather. Philistine will gather. They will just carry a jawbone of an ass. And he just finish all of them. Amen. He was a superhero. Praise the Lord. But always know there is something more in your walk with God. You are young guys, young men, you are asking God, what's my purpose, what's my calling, and all of those things. Yes, God will reveal it to you. God will help you. But in the midst of doing it, please don't forget this one. Don't forget your bedroom. Don't forget the bedroom where you have intercourse with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Where God incubates you. And how does he incubate you? He incubates you by showing you who he is. He shows you himself, his glory. And then you become like him. You become a man full of mercy. It's just like any day you go to God, you know that if I meet God, I will always find mercy. Let me get to a point that anytime I meet God, Ruben, no matter what I do to him, I will always find mercy. Then, Ruben, you are walking in glory. You have become a glory being. Now, whatever I have done to Abbe, and I know that as I get to Abbe, I will find mercy. Is that not what we find in God? He told Moses, I made you a God to Pharaoh, I made you another God on earth. He said, as he is, so are we well in this world. So you become who God is in the spirit. You become that on earth here. That when people know that when they come to you, they will, you see, grace is always there for them. There's goodness. Not that when he had money, he didn't take care of me. Now, me, I have money, so I'm not taking care of it. You know? No, you have not encountered this dimension. If you encounter this dimension, certain things will naturally drop out of your life. They will drop. So those of you that you are still there, your roommate, you know, like that, when you were suffering, he didn't give you food, and you don't get food. Amen. If you have encountered this dimension, in fact, you'll be praying God the day when his food finish, maybe you two don't have, you'll be praying God to give you food, not because you want to eat, but because you want to give it, or you want to give her. You have encountered this dimension. Is it glory? So don't wait until you see clouds. Amen. Moses was inside the cloud and he was asking for this one. Praise the Lord. You see the cloud, beautiful, good and fine. But don't wait until you see cloud because it now validates that you have seen glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a nature. God's glory is essentially nature. You know, it's essential being who God is. Praise the Lord. Are we on the same page?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what did you hear? Let me hear from one or two persons. What did you hear? Okay, who wants to talk? Amen. What did you hear? This is Tyrannus Hall. So you know it's a fellowship. So we're having fellowship. All right, Pastor Isaiah.
Jeremiah.
Pastor Jeremiah, sorry. Okay.
What I learned is that glory itself is the goodness of God. And when we are walking in mercy, that means we are expressing the glory of God. And also we understand that Moses, even he was privileged to be talking to God face to face as a friend, but he still wants more of God. Praise the Lord. And also, Pastor was talking about we going to the inner room. We may be manifesting God's greatness in the outside. Maybe laying hands on the sick, raising the dead, doing many miracles. But there is still a need for us to go into the room and develop our spirit so that we can come back out to become another person. And we were able to understand the person of David, that he has all these things in him, long suffering. He was able to stay for a long time to become a king on the throne. and he's full of kindness, he's full of goodness, all these qualities are in him. Even when he's caught doing wrong, whenever the prophet came to come to tell him that what he's really doing is wrong, he still will come, he will humble himself. It's not just like other kings that want to be proud. So this has made his throne to be successful, and that is why the King Jesus came out of his throne. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Can we appreciate Pastor Jeremiah? All right, who else? Mr. Gift.
Praise God. Okay, one of the things I speak talked about is the quest for more. That no matter the level we are operating in, no matter the measure of life that we are receiving or seeing, that there should be a quest and a thirst for more, to go into the inner room, to go into the bedroom, and to have more fellowship with God, and to get more from Him. So that was one of the things I speak for myself and for life.
Okay. You can all appreciate Sister Gay. All right, Pastor Colin.
Praise the Lord. You see, the message that just came onto me now is that Moses was displaying and the gifts of the Spirit. He had the gifts of God. He had the, you know, the raw power of God, but that did not, you know, define everything that he was. He saw in himself that inadequacy, you know, that he had not really gotten to know the person of God. He has seen the acts of God. You know, he has seen the way God does his things. But as at this time, Moses was asking for something more. And he was asking God, who is your person? Who is your person? And when God came, God spoke who he was. God spoke his person. And truly, when Moses had an experience with who God really is, when he came out, he came in a new person. He came out a new person, a person that his face started shining. So when we are asking what is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? The glory of God simply means the person of God. The gifts, you know, the character of God. And what was the character of God? We started seeing mercy. We started seeing the deep bowels of kindness. We started seeing, you know, forgiveness of rebellion. Forgiveness of sin. And mind you, let us not lose sight. Judgment. Praise the Lord.
We can well appreciate Pastor Colin. Any other person? Okay. Mr. Temito.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Actually, I've read this late, and I even underlined it long time ago, because I thought I got a revelation from that place. But tonight, I think I've gotten the real revelation about the person of God. Like what Pastor was telling us, I wrote something down here that God unfolded his glory in words unto Moses. Actually, I thought, when I've been reading these days, I thought maybe he just revealed himself. Moses saw the Lord. But if you should look at it deeply, look at it very well, we'll see that he just proclaimed his first that this is who I am. I'm merciful, I'm gracious, I'm long-suffering, and I'm abundant in goodness, keeping mercy. You see, all these things about God, he spoke it, and Moses became another man. And like Pastor said earlier, that we should go into the bedroom. And that is the place where God can have intercourse with us, and we will produce God ourselves. I read the place in Ephesians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And I also read the place in John 15, that when you abide in me, you will bear fruit. But if you do not abide in me, there's no how you can bear fruit. So I think I've learned much tonight, and this is the little I'm able to.
Can we appreciate our wonderful sister here? Who else again? Who else? Okay, Abby. Uncle Abby. Oh, Abby.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me start by saying, I think this is the best gift God has given unto me, that they can take me in. You know, I know this past week I've not been coming. I know I've needed, and I don't know because of tunnels or when Pastor grows old and become 90 and depart this sinful world. I pray God is working towards that. And you know, this teaching tonight has actually changed a lot of things concerning my understanding of what glory of God is. You know, I used to think glory of God is when I caught up in one revelation and I'm just in one supernatural world. And a lot of things is happening like that there. But these have actually sharpened the understanding. And it goes beyond that one. That those ones are even peripheral. That the real one are these ones. You know, the thing is that every lesson, every teaching that I've been getting here has been so, so important and congenial in my life. You know, it brings me to a level of breaking each time that I hear any teaching here. I go back home, I break myself, I break and break. Have I been doing these things? Have I been doing these things? Have I been doing these things? And I ask for strength, inner strength. So it's a great teaching that the glory of God is a person of God. The person of God. And we must be like Him. Jesus says we must be holy as our Father is holy. We must be like Him. We are growing into who God is. That somebody will just come, you know, and slap your face and just be smiling. Pastor said sometimes ago that somebody offend you, hurt you, you know, abuse you, and you stay silent. He said you have altered the word of God. You have not altered anything, but you have altered the word of God. This is how we grow into being who our Father is. And this is how we bring down the glory of God on earth. It is not only by miracle. It is by even living this kind of life. And God will help us in Jesus' name.
Let me clap very well for my brother. Amen. All right. It's a blessing.
Praise God. I'll say I'm really blessed today because initially when I hear the word glory, like the glory of God, I just used to think that it's just maybe the sign or the hand of God. I don't know that glory, His glory means His appearance, His awesomeness, His essential being of God. So today my theology, my thinking about His glory really changed. Because today, like, I really learned a lot. I know this program was really for me. Because now, I learned that His glory of, when you, like, His glory of God, it is with His mercy, His graciousness, and everything, His abundance in goodness. And everything was combined in a man through Christ Jesus. And afterwards, after Christ, everything was put in the Holy Spirit, and it was put in us. Because once we have the Holy Spirit, we have the abundance of God, we have everything. And it's through the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll be ginger to even go more into the bedroom of God. And once we have the Holy Spirit again, things, our ideology will change. Our spiritual being will be sensitive, will be spiritually sensitive to things. Because we'll have more, like, we'll be abundant too in goodness. We'll be like Christ. Because we'll have lots of mercy, like we'll have long suffering. I will know how to do things, child. We'll know how to forgive and things we don't even like have before. Since we have Christ, it's going to ginger our spiritual being, anyways. And I pray God will enlighten us.
Can you appreciate that? For you to, for you to appreciate this word that we have just received, just I want you to just think for just a second. Imagine the body of Christ is like this. The body of Christ in Nigeria. Just imagine the body of Christ. All of us were like this. You know, this Exodus chapter 3, you know, verse 6, is a merciful, gracious, you know, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and what, and truth, you know, keeping mercy, and then walking in forgiveness. You just imagine that is the nature of Christ. The nature of the church in Nigeria. Amen. Praise the Lord. We will not be talking about Islamic agenda. Because all men will be flocking to the tabernacle. Praise the Lord.
I just want to say like 100 of what happened. Like, when you begin talking the other time, you were talking about
were telling us when you wanted to start the teaching that you want to show us that we should be our driving on it, that what is our greatest request. I want to believe that before Moses, when Moses had this opportunity of seeing the presence of God, it is what has been driving him that propelled him to make that kind of request. It is his hunger. Because I know that so many people might have that kind of opportunity and would have asked for something else. But because of his hunger and what has been driving him, propelled him to make that kind of request that he got. So, and this was gotten as a result of what he has had in mind. So that point was the first thing I got before the other ones that were talking about his presence and every other thing. So we must be able to know what we want in God, so that when the opportunity comes, we will not be asking for something else.
Yeah, praise God. Can you hear me as a sister, Sister Mama? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, who is talking again? You okay? All right, can you appreciate it, Brother Ben?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've been blessed, sincerely. One thing that strikes me was that the request of Moses, Pastor said, the request actually is a request he was making of another age. Don't know if we followed that when he was speaking. It was not really a request that was common to what every other person around him would have asked for. You know, I get it more clearer now when the Bible said that actually Moses knew God's ways, but the people knew his acts. And many people in our generation want things about God and not really his person. And I got to understand also that whenever we genuinely test for deeper things of God, we upgrade our being. Upgrade. It says, they that are thirsty for righteousness, they are being filled. So there was an upgrade for just one man in that generation to taste of something that was fulfilled in Revelation 22:4. And God said it was that time that God was ready to show people his face. But this time, even if God did not fulfill that, show him his face, he gave him something that upgraded him. And I noticed something again that in chapter, just few chapters before then, that's chapter 32. Before we start reading from chapter 33, Moses had, there were characters he started displaying in 34. That was not present in him in 32. Because Pastor was explaining that the glory robs when we appear before God, like Corinthians says that we appear before him, we are being changed into the same likeness. The Bible said that he broke, when he saw those people worshipping the calf, he broke it, and then when God called him the second time, that was when he began to ask for other things in God. As in the glory of God. And when God showed him, it was, Pastor said, he didn't really see anything physical, but that revelation changed him. That when you now read what happened to him after then, the Bible said he just began to glow. He didn't even know it. He was not concerned about it. But we could see his meekness. We could see, the Bible said, when you read downward from chapter 34, you get to see that there was a changed man from who really he was. And that really blessed me. I am moved to the one request in my heart while listening to all this is how fast we can really grab some of these things instead of wasting time trying to pursue some other kind of, so that we will become upgrade as soon as possible. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I appreciate it, bro. Ruben. Yes, like you know, like Brother Ruben said, you know, when Moses came, immediately after that encounter in if you read Exodus 34, immediately after this encounter, he saw this thing. You know, the Bible says Moses bowed. Let's read it. You know, he said there, Moses, yeah. You see some things in Moses that was not in, is that what you say, Brother Ruben? Yeah. That was not in Moses in chapter 32. Now, look at immediately after the encounter, look at what Moses did. Look at verse 9. After God says, declare his name, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin and everything. But, I did not say something. Hope you know that this thing was not in the template and in the ordinance, in the visible template of heaven before that time. This time, God can forgive sin. Spirit, they did not do it. That's why Satan went to commit, make man sin, thinking that's the end. It was only in God. It was only in God. You see, they are even angels. That's why the angels are looking at those things with wonder. What is this again? That God can forgive sin. That's a deeper glory than all of the galaxies put together. You see, heaven is full of streets of gold. But that God can forgive sin. For that to be possible, Jesus had to come and die. That's why they say all those things before Jesus came, that God was piling them somewhere and waiting for when he can actually forgive sin. After the cross, God was forgiving them all like that. Those were shadow. That's why it is the blood that remit. You know what's going to remit? To wipe clean. It is the blood that wipes clean. That's why I say they are kept in Abraham's bosom. You hear so many terms of terminology. But when the blood came, the blood wiped everything. You see, one dot of blood is the highest demonstration of God's glory. You see, one pinch of his blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Hope you know that when we say Jesus, we are talking about God. God himself died to his own eternal ordinance in heaven. For him to be able to bring out another ordinance out, which is forgiveness of sin. He said mercy. What is that mercy? You know, he explained that mercy. In verse 6, he said merciful. In verse 7, he said explaining mercy. He said merciful. You know? He said keeping mercy for thousands. And forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Can you see? That God can forgive sins. That God will forgive sin. Then for you to glory, that you are now entered into glory, that you too will now begin to forgive men. As men are offending, you are forgiving them. You have entered into glory. You are provoking the heavens. God himself in heaven, God forgives in heaven, and you are on earth, you are forgiving in earth. You will break into the supernatural. No wonder. You know, they were flogging Peter. I was not angry with them. There was no offense in his spirit. Then another time, after that encounter, and as he progressed further, we now heard that his shadow was healing the sick. Can you see? Paul said, I wish myself, you know, he said, twice, how many times beaten by rod? Abi? All kinds of things the Jews have done to me. He said, but I even wish I myself would be what? We cast away so that Israel would be grafted in. How would that man have that kind of, because you know why? Because of the kind of, God, Paul saw what Moses saw. Paul saw the substance of what Moses saw, the shadow on that Exodus 34. When Paul saw the substance, and when Paul came back, Paul came back and what he saved the life of a nation. Not just a nation, his writings. Look at what they did to him in Corinthian church. They'll kick him here, they'll kick him there. You tell them, be as I am. The all kinds of things they were doing to him. The real test of Paul apostolic might in the Corinthian church. Go and read the book of Corinthians. You know that this man is an apostle. They will carry him, throw him away, all kinds of accusations. Paul will still be coming to them. Just like Jesus, they will carry Jesus on their head. They want to go and throw him away. The following day, he's coming back to meet the same kind of people. He said, I am long suffering. How many of us will not have been angry? They stone you in one place, you go to preach. Will you go back the following day? You see that quality, I am long suffering. Let's not be doing caricature of small biscuit spirituality. They will maltreat you. You will come back to the same people the following day. You talk about glory. I'm showing you the eternal road, the eternal highway to the supernatural. That's why we're trying to use the back door to enter the supernatural. We cannot enter. We want to use the back door. You know? Only prayer and fasting. We cannot enter. Is it Jesus? They will argue with him inside the temple. They were even looking for him, but Jesus was still coming back to the same people. Paul, what happened there? Look at Paul. I gave you Paul. He said, the Jew, what have they not done to me? He said, how many? Five times, 40 times, five times beating with the rod. Three times beating with rod. About how many times beating with whip? Everything they have done, he said, yet I wish I could. Can you see who he has become? The Apostle Paul. When Moses, after this encounter, look at verse 9. I told him, say, merciful. I've explained that God is ability to forgive in glory. Who are you? Who are you? And he began showing Moses who he was. He said, I forgive sin. This one, what he told Moses, he said, was alien to angels. Before the angel began understanding, he began seeing it for the first time in their eternal existence on earth. When they saw God forgiving sin on earth.
It's the angel desire to look into these things. What is this? What is this? Who is this Yahweh? Who thought to have known him all this while? You know, Satan too thought he had known him. That's why he went to kick man. If he knew, not have allowed Adam to see. Yes, Adam would have been trapped in that garden. Amen. He wouldn't have gone to sit with God on his throne. He would just be inside the garden and be a garden. He said God called him to tend the garden. Amen. Amen. You know, that's not the estate of man. He said, be tending the garden. I give you dominion over there. You just stay inside the earth there, you know, like that. But after I've all said and done, he said to them that overcome, who sit with me where? On my throne. You see, that other estate is different. Amen. You know, yes, he said, you'll be a gardener, be tending the garden, just stay there, you know, and all of those things. You know, you're like, just left man there. Or when, you know, but he went and dip man inside sin and they started drinking champagne. See, the work is done. And when he did that, then God now just started. Praise the Lord. So immediately after this encounter, look at what happened to Moses. Look at verse 8. After this revelation, the Bible says, and Moses made haste, bowed his head towards the earth, and then he worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray you, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. The next encounter, after Moses came out of that encounter, Moses saved the life of a nation. You see, glory. You know, if there's a kind of glory, you come out and you become a superman. Abi? Yes, the kind of encounter you had, you become a superman. Amen. You know, testimonies up and down. Praise the Lord. You know, yes. How one angel stood on your left shoulder, another angel stood on your right shoulder to deliver this word to you. To deliver this message to you. And then this is the message I'm telling you. Now, you know, there's a way you feel high. But Moses came out of that experience, he broke a man. He said, take us for your inheritance. He saved the life of a nation. Paul, to what this dimension, he saved the life of a nation. David too had this encounter, this glory. And when David came out, David judged Israel. David saved the life of Israel. It was not all about him, it was all about Israel. The first day David sat on the throne, what did he say? He said David understood that God has elevated his throne because of his people Israel. You start seeing the people, you start seeing yourself. You start seeing God and his people. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This will change you. It will change you. You will become like God. You know, Paul, it was all about God's people. Let him be a castaway. Moses, let me be a castaway. David himself too, God, why are you judging? God was judging Israel and saved the life of David. David was the one that said, no, leave them, turn the sword and put it on me. Turn the sword to me and leave these people alone. That's all. Can you see those men that encountered glory? Can you see glory? Praise the Lord. It's not to increase your muscle. Amen. You will come out of it a broken man until God's will and purpose and counsel be done. You are ready to die on that altar. On that altar. Praise the Lord. So you can see what glory does. You know? Not that I've been international ministry and God takes you all over the whole nation.
Right.
You know, and all of those things. Yes, the motive for asking that, the question is not a wrong thing, but the motive inside will be different. You want to see Christ established all over the whole world. And you want yourself given as an offering. Can you see? Can you see what this encounter does? So there are dimensions in God. So which one are we looking for? If you just want to carry the oil and run away. Amen. Carry the oil and run away and be on your own. You know, just be doing your own things up and down. But this one, you become a servant of eternal things. Yes. You know. You become a servant of eternal things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You go past, you know, all these small, you know, all these offenses, all these small quarrel. You see, this man went beyond that realm. He said, he was talking about me. He was talking about me, you know. Sister Lola and Sister Blessing, they were talking about me and all of me too. I am now, you know, putting one kind of spirit when I see them, you know, like that, you know. Before you know it, you know. And all the kind of small, you know, like that, you know. Filthiness will live your life. Filthiness. Paul, all of them, the Corinthian church said that Paul was even a forward. They say Paul was a forward man. He said, being crafty, he took us with guile. That's what they say. They say, being crafty, he took us with guile. Even one time, they say there's no resurrection. That's why Paul started writing the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, they say there's no even resurrection. Some of them, you know. Praise the Lord. Paul said, I am ready to live and to die with you. Again and again. If you want to know his test as an apostle, go and read the epistle to Corinth. 1 and 2 Corinthians, sit down and read it. Praise the Lord. Some people say they don't go to where they are tolerated, they go to where they are celebrated. And these are renowned preachers all over the world. What are they preaching? They don't go to where they are tolerated, they go to where they are what? Celebrated. And people are quoting it, you know? All over. People are quoting it. If Paul walked that way, you not have the book of Corinthians. Yes. You not have some of the books of the Bible. Because you never go there. Even Jesus himself, you not even have redemption. Was he celebrated? Was he even tolerated? You say you not go to where you are tolerated. He was not even tolerated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, you see, this gospel is so rich. As if Pastor Colin, is it not rich? Is it not sweet? This gospel that we have been given is so rich. You know, you become a sweet wine. You know what I'm talking about, a new wine. You yourself, you become the wine. It's not a wine coming from heaven. Amen. You yourself, you become the new wine. You know, you become the new wine. The new wine that men drink everywhere. Men will drink it and they will begin to find life. You see, if you know who is talking to you, you are asking. And you are giving what living waters to drink. You know? Living waters. People will drink you and their life will forever be changed. One just encounter with you. Just one. They don't need to meet you twice. Just once. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, Pastor Colin, let me give you time to talk and then we just do four prayers and then and go.
Praise the Lord. You know, as my people were speaking and I remembered 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse from verse 2. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. He said, according to his divine power, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So, I just discovered that I've been quoting this scripture, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I thought, you know, the good things of life. And now I am seeing that the things that pertain to life and godliness has been provided for us by him that has called us to glory. And what are those things that pertain to godliness? Verse 5. He said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Oh, he said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
See, a very strong word. Pastor, thank you so much. You have broken more light in this little word. You see that place? You see the sequence? See the flow? Abi, can you follow the flow?
Yes.
First, Peter.
2 Peter chapter 1.
He has called us to glory and what? Virtue. He said, whereby giving exceeding, you understand, great, and he now began to break down the glory. He began to break, he said, the glory of God is his person. And we are given the privilege to become his person, that we might be conformed to the image of his person. The glory of God is not a lie. You know? Yes, those are parts of glory. Those are likeness of glory. The light and all of those things you see around him is his person. And you and I have the privilege to become his person. Add to your this virtue, you know, and all of those. See the breakdown. Now, I ask us again for the last time before we pray. Imagine the whole body of Christ in this territory, in this region, in this nation is running after this thing. And it's a pattern after this life. How do you think we stand? How do you think the place will be like? How do you think like things will be like? All of us, as a church, in all of those confusion, everybody just speaking grammar. You know? Apart from those ones that God has really raised and are genuine and are doing something good and tangible and strong for the kingdom. But the bulk and the bulk of the people in the outer court, there are many. The bulk of them are just speaking grammar. You have apostles in the outer court. You have pastors, you have evangelists in the outer court. But you also have apostles of the inner court that have been raised from the Holy of the Holies, that have been raised from God's bedroom. Amen. You have them. You know, so this is it. So all this confusion, all this noise, they notice you that will begin to ebb away. Even the unbelievers will begin to respect us. He said, let your good work, let your light so shine that men will see what they see. Your good works. Then they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. The template has always been there. We are the one turning it upside down. Because our heart is so complicated. Because of this series, there's a session I'm going to be taking. I'm going to talk about simple things or something. Simple things or keep your union simple. One of these days you hear it in the course of the series, How you see by revelation and light, I was just able to show a bit, because the messages are so short, like 6, 7, 8, 10 minutes. So short, to show how we began life simple and how it became complicated. Complicated. And so we are complicating the whole. Even prayer is complicated now. That's why people are not praying. Prayer that should be king, joy and all those things. That's why we started this meeting. As I showing us about prayer. Amen. Let's begin to appreciate our Father. Can you just thank Him? Can you bless Him for this time, season, and awesome time in His presence? Father, we bless you. Our Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, hallowed be your name. God of glory, you have called us to glory and to bless you. You have called us to glory. To glory and to bless you. You have called us to glory. To glory and to bless you. Thank you. Talk to your Father. And you ask Him, He's listening, He's here. He's listening, He's here. Just talk to Him. From the depth and the simplicity of our hearts, we speak unto our Father. We ask for your glory. We ask for the unveiling of your glory. For the revelation of who you are, unveil to our hearts, unveil to our spirits.
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Nation on your part.